Today I want to mention a couple of things. Firstly, we'll have a review of Easter Camp. There's a couple of testimonies that have yet to be drawn out of that. That's coming up in a couple of weeks' time. But I need a couple of spotters to help me this morning. Now, spotters are people who can look out and see hands that go up very quickly, like a sort of quiz show thing. So we've got a couple of volunteers who want to come up here to be spotters. Good Jack's coming up right away. So he's keen. Anyone else keen to be a spotter? All you have to do is just spot the person, the first hand to go up, and what we're about to do. So everyone's keen for that. You can spot very quickly. Okay, are you sure about that? You're fine if you can, but come up here. We need two spotters, but we need two just to be clear on this. Anyone else? So you won't be up here the whole service. That's fine, Jan. Yep, you jump up here. That's great. So we'll have Jan and, come up here. Come up here, Lucy. That's fine. No, we've got two spotters. It's all good. So here's our spotters here, and what we're going to do, very simple, the rest of you are now involved, perhaps if you sit on the end there, Lucy, so you can sort of get the best look at this side here. We're going to start with a bit of a quiz show today and what I'm going to talk about. Now, this is very simple. All it is word association. Now, word association, can someone tell me what that is? How do we do word association? Thank you. First thing you think of when you say a word. So if someone was to say food, you might think... Yum, glutton, looking forward to it, etc. Steak or whatever it might be. I won't get to tell you about steak. Whatever the word happens to be, etc. So you won't know what the word is. And I want our spotters here to quickly look and spot. Now, you'll have to raise your hand rather than yelling out. That might be best. So the first hand that goes up. However, think carefully before you put your hand up. Or you move your chair forward. That's fine. You just do this side, Jan. You're just doing that side, and you're doing that side there. But we want you to spot firstly and just call out quickly. The reason we're going to do this is that we're going to look at some different things that are happening in our lives and look at the word association with them. So the first thing is, if I was to give a word, I think I've already said what we're going to do before, but think carefully before you put your hand up, because it may not be the most obvious thing. So we'll have to sort of decide amongst ourselves who has won this round. And there are prizes here that we have some very tasty prizes and some very healthy prizes. So that you don't know what they are yet. If you decide that you don't want the tasty prizes, I do have some healthy ones. So feel free to make your call and your pick. Because by default, the first hand up will win. But the right answer will obviously trump the first hand up. So think carefully before you answer about the particular thing, and we'll get this game underway. So everyone know the rules of the game? Okay, so all hands happen. Katie, you've got your hand halfway up there. You have to have your hands on your lap at the moment to start with, so there's no sort of advantages there. Now, Nick, your hand down, please. Okay, you've got it half up in there, ready to go. Okay, so first thing, everyone, all good. Now, this is everyone can play, kids as well, etc. We all know what it's about, okay? So the first, and I just want the first word that may be there. So you ready? Everyone set? School. Right, no, first one over here I heard. Yes, Jono? Boring. And yes, well, you get all the hands that are up, but we'll pick this one by default, etc. Yes, Sue, yes? Work. See, thank you, awesome. Nick? Education. Henry? School bag. Okay, so... what do we think is this best answer, boring, being trumped by anything that actually school is really about? What is school really about? What do you think school is really about? Is it about work or education? Someone said education. Hopefully that's what school's about. So sorry, Jono, first answer was great, but who said education? Nick. Okay, healthy or not so much? Not so much? Okay, so I'll get you to take this to the guys back here. We have a bag of raspberry rolls here. So if you can take those, if you can whip them back. Oh, we're a runner, Johnny, you can do a runner. Okay, thank you. And just take it. So this is the good prize, not so much the healthy prize. So no, I'm afraid you guys are disqualified because you're up here, you can't be a part of that. Okay, we've got the idea. So you see the deal, let's get this game going. Second thing is, what's another thing we can pick on here? Part of what goes on. Park, as in Victoria Park. Yes, go for it. Playground, excellent. Okay, yeah, so for having fun playing, yes, yep. Trees. Swing. Anything else? Paths, yes, paths up at the park. walking around, okay. So I think we'll give the prize to this young man over here. Do you want the healthy one or the less so? Less so, good, I thought you would. Okay, runner again, thanks, Jono, if you wouldn't mind. Now, there's a few left there. We don't have to have them all today. So we've got the general idea. The next thing we're going to have here is C. Sarah, yes? Sit. The sea, as in the ocean. Sorry, sea as in the ocean. So, yes? Colleen, thank you. Seasick, right. If we might give a prize for that one. Others, yes, over here? Sorry? Habitat. Okay, thank you. June? Sorry? Humanity. This is the sea, the ocean? Yeah, okay, good. June? Swim. Thank you. Liz? Ships. Good, yeah, good. Excellent. Sue? Fast. Sorry? Vast. Thank you, thank you. At the back there, Elizabeth? Sea. Very good. Yes, over here? Waves? Okay, yep. That's right. So they're saying the same thing. Sarah again? Sit. Lots of things for the sea. Isn't this interesting? Yes. Water. Thank you. Dive. Now, I don't want to pick the first one. That was seasick. So we're probably going to have to pick another one there. Someone said, which is one you like, Jan? Swim. Okay, who did swim? June, you probably want the healthy option, do you? Or are you happy with? What's that? No, you have a choice for either. The healthy option? Okay, if you could take that too. June, there you go. Yep. Yeah, that's June there. That's wonderful. There's the healthy option. Now, there may be other healthy options in place as well. Actually, no, this is for June. There we go. So healthy toasted muesli. You've taken that to June there. Well done, June. So you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. The healthy option. So you never know what you're going to get for the healthy option. Okay, moving on quite quickly. Secondly, McDonald's. McDonald's. Yes. Fast food. Burger. Yes. Burgers. Junk food. Yeah, good man. Yes. Burger King. Oh, right. Okay. Yep. Yes. Unhealthy. Now, believe it or not, we actually haven't got the right answer yet. Because the question I had is, what do these companies do? We sang before, I think, their song, the word do came up in our. What is the basis or the purpose of these companies? What do they do? Food, close. Yes. Not close, but it's another one. Yes. Sell. Make money. Now we're getting a bit closer. Make money. Okay. Yes. Profit. No, you're close to the word that was I was going to say, but no. McDonald's. So we're going to have, which is the one that's most likely, guys? What do we think was the most, the one that we're going to give the prize to? Someone said burgers? Yep, burgers. Okay, we'll give this one to the guy that said burgers. McDonald's is actually, thank you, Jono. Oh, you do it. Good on you. McDonald's is actually a land-owning company. Their purpose is to own land. What McDonald's do is they own land. The franchisees own the buildings, and the food is merely coincidental. They buy land on the outskirts of the building. So that's what McDonald's do. Okay, one more. Ford. That's the motor company. Ford. What do they do? Yes? Cars? Vehicle? Drive? Falcon? Fixing it? Sorry? Ranger? Ford Ranger? Yep. Anything else? What do they do? Four-wheel drive? Sell? Yes, getting there. Transport. So Ford is now a mobility company. You may be aware, but Ford stopped making cars now. They've stopped making cars in the US. Where they do it the rest of the world, they're very much a transport mobility company, and it sounds surprising. So the first thing we think is cars, they're not actually that. Okay, but anyway, mobility, someone said transport. Okay, if you could take that to the person who said transport. Thank you very much. Transport, well done. Okay, the last one now, and this is the last round here. Thank you very much. That's great. Thank you.
I'm helping.
You're doing a very good job, Lucy. Okay, church. What do we do? Sing? Family? Praise? Worship? Sunday school? The called out ones, yes, that's what we are, yes. Play the drums. Living stones. Oh, thank you. Someone said Jesus. Now, you can have the whole bag for that. That's great. So take this back to, and perhaps give one to his wife as well. Thank you very much. And a big hand for our volunteers. Take them back there and bring it back. Thank you very much, Jen. And it's wonderful. Today, what I want to look at, talk about is the centrality of Christ in what we do. Because it is very easy. All those other things are good, don't get me wrong. And all those other things are associated with his other companies. And what I want to look at today, thank you very much. I better have those back. I think they'll disappear. They'll keep them for some other time. Or maybe they won't last till another time. Thanks, Lucy. Have a seat. That's great. Wonderful. Big hand for our volunteers. That's great. The passage I want to look at today is found in 1 Corinthians 1, a reading from verse 18. If you've got your Bibles, have a look at them together. They'll be up on the overhead as well. So reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but as to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message of the cross preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's pray. Father God, as we turn to your word this morning, we understand that the church does Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we talk about. That is what is central. That is what we point people to. We ask your forgiveness as we start. If we have distracted ourselves in doing other things so that it's not immediately obvious what it is that we do, help us come back to the message of the cross that we preach Christ crucified. Show us, Lord, what it is that you would have us do in order to continue to be faithful to that message. We thank you for your word, for all that you were saying to us and speaking to us. Thank you, Father. Amen. So very simply this morning, I want to speak about four words, and the four words are found, and it's a very simple message and found in a simple way. If we understand that the books of the Bible, and there's been a testimony we'll hear next week about a new Bible study group that started, and they're starting from the very start of the Bible, from Genesis 1 and working through. If we could look at various parts of the Bible, we understand the New Testament starts with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, which is really an extension of Luke. Then we get the book of Romans, which was to the captives. But the book of 1 Corinthians, the next one in order, really speaks to the people of the day, the people that were spoken to. And if we think of as easy as 1, 2, 3, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 shows clearly what it is that we are about. Because in the middle of that passage in verse 23, it says, we preach Christ crucified. And that today is what I want to speak about. How it is that we, as a church and individually, can be true to that calling. Because that is what we're about. We preach Christ crucified. Four simple words, and this morning, all I want to do is speak about those. The first one of those is we. No special interpretation needed there. We is a plural word. We is us. We is those that are called and the church here at Beckenham and the wider world to do something together. It's not I preach Christ crucified or you preach Christ crucified or they preach Christ crucified, but we do it. There's something that is significant about corporate proclamation of the gospel. We'll look shortly what the word preach means, but in terms of the thing that we do together, this is something that we are encouraged to do. And when Paul is sort of beginning to speak to people and say, this is what it's all about, he wants to lay down and say, but this is what it's about. We preach Christ crucified. That's something that we do together. So at the very start of the proclamation of the gospel and speaking about the kingdom of God, it clearly was saying that is something that we will do. That is something that states that the church is called to do something together. Whether it's the new initiatives, and we've spoken about some of those, the sing-along with the elders, or what it may be that we do together, or things that have been going for many years, or just recently started. This is something that we do together. So maybe in what you're doing, if you're looking around seeing nobody that's particularly with you or following you in the thing that you are doing, maybe it's time to go back and say, Lord, is this what is central for me? Is this something that you want me to partner with others in? It may be that you haven't discovered those who are the we of the ministry that God has called you to, or the mission that he is leading you into. But it's good to understand first and foremost that it is something that we do together. Not all the points to be as short as this, but that's the first one. Secondly, preach. If we could bring up the verse, thanks, Nick, which the verse here is a central verse about what it is to preach the gospel. It's found in Romans 18, 19. It says here, if we can find Romans 15, verse 18, 19. It says here, in that, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in verse 19, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, so that around from Jerusalem and around about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So to fully preach the gospel of Christ, it speaks in verse 18 and 19, we're going to bring 18 up again, thanks. Word, sign, and deed. All three of those things are needed to preach, to fully preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not something done just in word, not something done just in sign, not something done just in deed, but all three of them. You see in the start of our newsletter, clearly we say what it is that we are about. Our vision statement, and part of it says in word, connecting with our community, in word and sign and deed. It's very difficult. It's like trying to pick up mercury or push water uphill to keep these three things in tandem or together, in balance. And yet that is what is needed to fully proclaim the gospel. Each ministry has a sense of word and sign and deed. It would be a terrible thing if we were having a ministry that was more about proclaiming it in word, for example, and we didn't think too much about the concern about those who may be there, in terms of the deed that we may have to provide with them, or the sign of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. So word and sign and deed are needed together in order to preach. So if we say we preach Christ crucified, all of those three things are needed together. Thirdly, we preach Christ. Now it was very interesting, we did that little exercise before to see the various things that people said the church did. What does the church do? It does fun, it does Sunday school, it does family, it does lots of other things. It is the ecclesia, the called out ones. And we had, it wasn't a scripted answer, but thank you, Andrew. We had Jesus, the church does Jesus. That is what we preach Christ is about. Is he central in all that we do? Is it what we're pointing people to? Some years ago, we were talking about taking on the road, a written sort of a bit of a drama or a bit of a road trip, doing a musical, writing a few songs, etc. Years ago, you may have been involved with doing that sort of thing. And the song, the purpose of the thing was to talk about the centrality of Christ and take it around churches and youth groups. The name of the musical was Don't Mention Jesus. And it was said because it seems to be that we mention all sorts of other things and Jesus may get a mention at the end or in a little bit in the middle or possibly not at all. But it seems to be when we talk about the centrality of that, then it gets awkward. We don't really know what to say, etc., etc. There were some wonderful testimonies that were given about how we or a part of the church were speaking about the centrality of Christ in our lives and the hope that we have in those examples and testimonies that were given. This is where we preach Christ was happening. People were talking about what it is that he had done in their lives and how it is that he was saying about the centrality and the importance of speaking that. So when we read in that passage that we preach Christ crucified, it involves us at some stage doing something about the person of Jesus, speaking of him to those that are around us. People we meet on the streets, people it is that we might literally bump into. Last night I was out and on the way home, I literally nearly ran over someone. Now, that might sound a bit dramatic, but if you're going to be sitting on the road at night having a yarn to your mates, you don't sit on the inside of a corner because that's where the corners tend to get cut. I was coming back home last night quite late at night and somebody was a little bit drunk and they were sitting over the white line. There was a sort of yellow, dotted yellow lines because it was too narrow to park. And I swerved past this guy and couldn't believe it. He was the same age as these guys here on the front row. I turned around and said, "Hey man, what's going on?" They said, "We've just been kicked out of a party. Can you give us a ride?" And it was a situation where three of them were sitting there and there was bushes behind them. Ever had this happen if you've been picking up hitchhikers? So you know what happens. So I pull up, I was in the disco, so I did have seven seats. I pull up, think let's pick up three guys, and all these guys come out of the bushes. So had a full car of guys, and they said, "Oh, we need to get to Addington Coffee Co-op, or just, sorry, Addington Shops in that area there where Domino's is." So we started talking, and the guy said to me, "Are you a Protestant?" And I thought, interesting opening. Have anybody had that sort of opening? Anyway, he was from St. Bede's, and I told him I was a pastor of a church, and he said, "Are you a Protestant?" So we started to talk about that, what that might mean. Most of the guys were from different schools. There was one from Kashmir, year 12, year 13. Gone to a party, you know the story, oldest brother of the kids didn't want them there, fist fight, cops had been there, but long story short, they'd been left in a part of town. They said they couldn't get home. So I'm driving home with these guys, telling them about what it is that I do and what I believe, not particularly full on, but just as a course of what we're doing. And for this guy who was sitting beside me from St. Bede's, I said, "So what's your understanding of Jesus Christ and the gospel?" And he looked at me a bit blankly. He said, "I'm Irish," by way of explanation. And I thought, okay. Now, this was a young guy who was year 12, drunk, not particularly coherent. Nonetheless, he was fully sober when he said that. Now, those of you who may be Irish or Catholic or English or something, putting that above and before the person of Jesus Christ, we sometimes, even in the church, have made the danger and the challenge of doing that. What we've sometimes done is we've said, actually, before Christ, this thing here is what I'm about or what we're about. So we got exchanged numbers, and I hope to have further conversations with those guys. But consider that and consider his example. Have we inadvertently sometimes put something before the centrality of Christ? The last thing I want to speak about today is we preach Christ crucified. And the reason this is important and the fourth word is important is it's one thing to talk about the example of Jesus, the wonderful things that he did, the way that he taught about the way we live our lives, the things that he taught us about how we should live and treat others. This is all very important stuff. But we may not get to the crucified part. We stop at the point where we say, we teach Christ. We talk about Jesus, about the wonderful things that he taught us and his life and his example, and that's very true. But unless we get to that last word, we've missed out the most crucial thing. As I said before in communion, the key thing is Jesus is all of these things to us, but first and foremost, he is Lord. And he cannot be Lord unless he had won the battle over sin, and he did that on the cross for each of us if we only choose to accept. And I know that some of us here have not come to that place. I want to give the invitation again because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where you can accept the story of Jesus crucified, dying on the cross for you, for each one of us here today. So can I encourage us that if we say that this is the purpose of what we do, we preach Christ crucified. If we've not come to that place, today is the day to come to that place and accept that Jesus was crucified, if only for me. He would have died on the cross. And for those of us who already believe, if we consider the ministries that we're involved in, what is it that we would say? What is it that we would proclaim? Do we get to the part of Christ crucified? I believe there's a challenge and encouragement in this passage for us all. And while I want to finish today, what we started with a bit of fun, I want to finish with a more sober example. Anybody heard of the ferry Sewol in South Korea? It was about 5 years ago. Anybody hear the story of that? The sinking of the ferry Sewol. About 5 years ago in South Korea, there was a ferry loaded up with essentially a whole school, about 300 or 400 pupils from a school. and they went across, and the ferry had been badly built and changed. You know how you put more cabins on and didn't have the right amount of ballast. And long story short, the ferry capsized and then began a disaster of epic proportions in terms of safety and rescue. It wasn't in rough seas, it wasn't particularly deep at the time, but everyone was saving face. Long story short, the ferry very slowly rolled over and sank over 12 hours, but somehow more than half the people on board died. The clip I want to show you is the summary of what happened at the end of that, because the government and the military were essentially inept. There's been lots of changes, don't get me wrong, since then, if you ever want to take a ferry in South Korea. But the clip I want to show you shortly is the summary of what happened. One of the divers that was involved, civilian divers in Korea, they all got involved in recovering the bodies. Can you imagine? And in fact, it's worth having a look at this afternoon, because the start of it shows clips of people. They'd sent phone clips and said, oh, they tell us it's fine, so we're just sitting there. Even though boat's on a 45-degree list, people are just sitting there because the teachers said it would be okay. They've been ringing home, and what do the parents say? We talked about school education. The parents said, listen to your teachers. They will tell you what to do. It's a very big thing to be a teacher, particularly a teacher of the Word of God. And those of us who are here in front of you and come here week by week, whoever is saying here, this is a big responsibility. The Bible says, let there not be many teachers. You receive a stricter judgment. And I'm not judging the teachers for what they said, but the teachers themselves were taught by others who said, stay here, your captain will look after you. Now, if you consider two things about captains. Captains in planes have the understanding, if I get myself home safely, then probably the passengers will follow. So passengers or captains in planes are told to think of themselves. Now, that's not a selfish thing. That's a practical thing. Because when a plane crashes, normally everyone goes with them. So if you look after yourself as a captain, your passengers will probably follow. Ships are very different. Ships happen in very slow motion. The crashes are very likely, the actual impact are very unlikely to kill anyone, but it's what happens afterwards. And incredibly, what happened with the Costa Concordia, where the captain bailed, the captain in South Korea did the same thing, even though he'd had the example of that before. Got off the ship very early on, didn't tell anyone anything, and people were waiting for the next instruction. There's really important instructions. And the message I want to leave here, particularly with the young people, is that one of the divers was so traumatized by what happened that he took his own life some years later. And this is a clip from his funeral, and I want to just finish on this morning. Thanks, Nick. Sorry, might be a bit hard to read those little words. Did anyone get the gist of those? Probably you missed a lot of that. It was basically the eulogy for her husband. This is the key line. Please take care of future affairs. This guy had died. He had died rescuing body after half-decomposed body of youth after youth after youth out of the ship, taking them to the parents so they could have some sort of burial and funeral. He said, I can't live with this anymore. This must never happen again. Please take care of future affairs. So young people, I look to you and say, this is the job, this is the challenge that comes before you. As a church also, but as we continually hand on what it is that Christ has given us to those that are younger than us, we have been instructed to please take care of future affairs. Please consider our message. Please consider what it is that we are saying. That there's never a tragedy like the ferry story again. And things have changed there. in South Korea. Don't get me wrong, it was a huge shake-up. Have they changed in the church? Are we taking care of future fears? Are we preaching Christ crucified? Because that's, in a sense, all that we need to do. Could I encourage, as we close today on a slightly more sober note, to think about what it is that for each one of us it would look like to say that we preach Christ crucified. How might we do that? How might we do that better? And what is it that God is saying to each one of us? We'll close the service shortly. We won't sort of stretch it out, but there's a number of responses that we might want to make. Some may say, I've not considered Christ crucified in my life, and might want to respond for that for the first time. We'd love to pray with you at the front. Others of us might say, I'm not sure that the ministry and the things that I do in my Christian life, in my church life, are about Jesus. You may want to make some sort of response, and there'll be people up the front to pray, and there's also the prayer room in there. So as we close today, consider the response that we would make, and we'll go from there. Thank you. Father God, thank you for your word, and thank you for that summary. We preach Christ crucified. That is what we do. As we consider all the different things, we drive home and see the logos of various businesses. We say, go past Z, that's about petrol, service, car stuff, etc., what it happens to be. Go past bakeries, that's about bread. Would people, Lord, when they look at our church and see the cross out front, and they look at us individually and in our ministries and mission, say, these people do Jesus, and when I want to find out about Jesus, I will go and see them. Father, we thank you for the simplicity, as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. Help us, Lord, being the messenger of all that you have us to say, and help us in the response that you want us to make today before we leave here. It's one thing to go home and reflect on this if we don't get too busy in the afternoon through the coming week, but I think for a number of us, there's a response that we need to make before we leave here today. As we focus on the vision that you have given us and the various aspects and ways that we serve, as an overarching understand, we preach Christ crucified. Some of that's messy. The messiness of the cross was needed to deal with the messiness of our sin and our shame and our separation from you. We thank you for your word, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We've welcomed you here in that song. We've prayed for your manifest presence. Dwell, convict, exhort, encourage as we go from here today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.